Whether you're a casual or well-rounded enthusiast, catch up with news, reviews, and more from around the circles of pop culture with us. This is Sentaku Media, the axis of anime, gaming, and other otaku interests. Hey everyone, this is your host, Sanjo, of the Sentaku Media Podcast, and this is the long-awaited special edition episode where I get to talk about more about Final Fantasy XIV, but this episode we are going to talk about the long-awaited expansion pack for the Final Fantasy XIV universe, Endwalker. So I'm going to try to keep it, well, I would say keep it simple, but it won't be that simple, but I will try not to spoil as much as a game, you know, as possible. I'm going to try to keep it, you know, for those that haven't played the game before, you know, I'm going to try to keep it spoilers to a minimum. And also, I will say this, I think it would be kind of best to not go into too much detail, not that way, you know, the episode won't be too long, and a lot of it requires previous experience of playing the games. But for those that have played the game and want to hear different people's opinions about it, thank you so much for dropping in. And I will say that just to give you a preview of what's to come is that this game took me by surprise. Like, there's some things I never expect to feel. Like, there's so many feels. Like, I know there's that thing, so this game has so many feels, like, or rather you're on a feels train. And that's kind of the case I've had playing this game. But we'll get right into that shortly. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and talk about some other things about 14. Just going into the upcoming patches prior to the base expansion of Endwalker. So right now I'm recording this, it is February 26th. So by the time this episode comes out, it will be the 30th, I believe, of March, and normally we don't have the, normally we release these special episodes, like, every last Wednesday of the month, and normally they come out every month, but as of 2022, I'm gonna go ahead and make them, like, every other month, or every quarter, or at least as needed. I guess that's the best, way to explain it, because the first special episode of this year, we had our, State of the Sentaku, which is recapping everything that's happened for Sentaku Media in the past, going on 15 years of operation. So yes, we started in 2007, and we've had quite a bit of rebranding going on, but yes, we are still here and still kicking. So thank you for those that have listened up to this point. And if you are new here, please be sure to check out previous episodes. Our first season of the Sentaku Media Journal, or rather, any other seasons, we talk about news relating to the world of anime, gaming, and other things in between, such as J-pop and K-pop, and any other thing in that realm of interest, or the subcultures, as I guess some people call it, or otaku subculture. So that is, if that's something you're interested in, please be sure to check us out, and also be sure to check us out on Discord. We do have an official Discord server where you can type in sentakumedia.com/discord, and you will be invited to join. And we do have several channels of interest that you might be interested in, and also we are open to suggestions on adding new channels and anything else you might have ideas for. So hope you get to join us, and also hopefully if we get enough active members, we can have special events on a channel too, because, well, not channel but server. But in order for that to happen, I would like to see, you know, enough people, you know, I guess as an interest check to see if this will even happen. I guess think of it as a digital panel of sorts for those that still can't go to conventions, even though we are kind of getting back to normal in some degree as far as going to cons and all that good stuff goes. But without further ado, let's talk about Final Fantasy XIV Endwalker. And I will disclaim the fact that I actually don't have a script, and I'm going to go based on memory of what I remember and how it starts off at, and what the heck happens in Endwalker in particular, and why is it so hyped up compared to the previous expansion. So, the story, though. So, I will warn is the story. So, when I first started playing 14, the story was very convoluted, and even people nowadays, like people who played the game up until this point, from, let's say, 2015, such as myself, they said that The biggest part of the game was, you know, trying to get through the story because it's kind of boring. It's very WoW-like that you just basically get go around doing menial tasks, quests, and all that stuff. And then eventually it picks up where you introduce to the important characters in a game. And also it's based on where you start in the game as well. But in recent years, they made it a lot. They basically cleaned up the story a little bit so it's a little bearable to get through. But as far as the story goes, here's the thing, the story, though. I think that's the biggest part of Endwalker. Not just the features, but it's the story that gets you. So try your best to go through A Realm Reborn. And even if it'll take you a few years, you just have to get stomach through it. Or chances are the best thing you can do, if you have it, that is. I'm not going all over the place with this. I guess a way to rectify the issue is that you can buy an item, I think it's $25 on a Mog Station. This is actually sold by Square Enix, that you can skip ahead based on the expansion pack, or to the latest expansion pack, I believe. But the characters at first, you have no connection to these characters, but as the story goes along, you develop an emotional attachment to them. And one character in particular, I will say, is Alphino. So Alphino, leading out towards A Realm Reborn, like, at this point, you know, I actually didn't like Alphino myself, but it was that one moment in the game, which I'm not going to spoil, where I'm like, you can do this, Alphino, I believe in you. So he comes off as a brat, but he realizes issues. There are issues that just can't be avoided, and, you know, it goes against his, you know, what he wants to do, but he comes off as, you know, being weird about it. So that's kind of, apparently, that character type, at least for me, apparently I fall for that easily, and I know there's some characters in the past, but with characters like that, I think a lot of people, it will win a lot of people over, that first they're insufferable, but you end up, you know, seeing a different side of them. And I think throughout, that's kind of a theme throughout 14 in particular, that I guess that wins the story over with a lot of people. But I know we're just talking about Realm Reborn, but we need to talk about Endwalker. But I'm trying not to go into too much backstory, but I guess I will start with Endwalker. So Endwalker, going backwards a little bit, so Endwalker, the point of Endwalker is that we're going back to wrapping up the story, going back to the past and then wrapping up the story as it is, because it's taken 10 years to explain the story of Hydaelyn and Zodiark. And that's the story, that was the base story, beginning from 1.0, but unfortunately we don't have any idea of, like, a lot of people, unless you do a deep dive into YouTube to find cutscenes from 1.0, we don't know a whole lot of details. But Hydaelyn and Zodiark are basically what keeps the universe together that we see from A Realm Reborn up until now. So Hydaelyn is responsible for keeping things afloat, where Zodiark is kind of the, I guess, you know how to, just off the top of my head, the whole yin and yang thing. So Zodiark is that negative energy that is being held together, but at one point it's just, you know, the enemies that we come across, they actually want to do something with Zodiark, to where they want to bring upon what they call the final days. And that, a lot of that is explained in Shadowbringers. So Shadowbringers, again, we're going backwards. So Shadowbringers, there's a prominent character that actually gets re-revealed in Endwalker that kind of explains things up until this point, and it will make you sad when you get there. So, but yeah, there's a prominent character. Technically, it's a villain or an anti-hero. I'm not going to say who the name is, but that's for you to find out. But if you've listened, if you played through the game, you know who I'm talking about. And for a lot of people, even myself, I said to myself that, why is everyone so crazy for this character? And now, in Endwalker, I have a better opinion of him, considering who he was paired with later. And actually, this one character that he's paired with is actually revealed in Shadowbringers, but Again, I'm going to leave that up to you to find out, because it's just, you know, kind of a surprise. But, yes, we've started finding bits and pieces of the final days in Shadowbringers leading up to now. So, Hydaelyn is actually someone that was also paired with these other two characters that I'm talking about. But she, or rather, I kind of revealed the person there. But yeah, so Hydaelyn, though. Hydaelyn is the person that keeps everything together in the universe that we know it on a star, the source, right? That's revealed in Shadowbringers. And so a lot of things happen leading to, up towards Endwalker. So we have the twins. So the twins, Alphino and Elise, they have to, well, eventually we go back to their home of Sharlion, and there's a lot of things that happen, and we even meet, like, some family members of the Liviers and other people of interest that were involved with previous characters previously, and that's, like, explained throughout the course of the game in previous expansions, but now we kind of come full circle as to why things the way they are. And we witness the final days happening in front of us, because the final days actually happened, it was reenacted in Shadowbringers, but a lot of everything that we've seen in Stormblood and Heavensward, there's, I guess, closure. For those that played through Heavensward, there's significant closure in Endwalker, thanks to one character, but it's kind of at a point that is setting up where we can find out more about this character in upcoming patches. Also, Stormblood. I think Stormblood, in one way, kind of wrapped things up, but I think it would be worth going back to revisit some characters. So, Stormblood in itself, you know, was kind of iffy, and I agree. I think towards the end of Stormblood, it was actually tolerable, but the expansion itself, I think some people said it was like two games in one. And I guess because you go to two different areas in a game that's not like the other, I guess. It's probably the way they say those two expansions, two stories in one, rather, I should say. But yeah, so Stormblood and Heavensward, or rather Heavensward and Stormblood in that release order is kind of eh, but Shadowbringers and Endwalker in particular, you know, basically, you know, reveal a lot of things. And it is important to note that the same person that wrote in Shadowbringers, rather, the same person that wrote Shadowbringers is also involved with Endwalker. And when everyone found that out, they were like, yeah, we are going to end up on the Phil's train with this. And they are right. They are so right. So I'm trying to explain this as best as I can. I know I'm going, like, I'm trying to explain this just from memory without spoiling it, but, this game is like a roller coaster, because at the beginning you do, get to know a little bit more of the characters, even one of the characters, apparently we found out their last name as well. And then we found out, we're trying to find out exactly what's going on with one character that was introduced at the end of Shadowbringers during the last patch. I'm not going to reveal their name, but I'm sure y'all know who I'm talking about. And that's actually the father of one of the characters. So, but they end up getting a whole bunch of bad rap. But even after the fact, they're still not the best character of interest for this situation, but we find out exactly what he's hiding, and then it leads us to this trip to the moon, into a an alternate universe again, and then we come back to try to thwart the final days. So one of the characters introduced at the end of Shadowbringers as well, a lot of people thought it would be the next version of the character that we saw at the end of Stormblood, rather. But that is not the case, and if anything, I think this character was short-lived and unnecessary to begin with. And he's actually he's an Asian who is what they call the Asians in this game. They're kind of the bad guys in the game, and I think this is also, I think, where it gets confusing, and I think they kind of, what they call retconning a lot of things, too. A lot of the Asians are actually, like to wander around and cause trouble, and even take the abilities, take the body of a lot of, people to, you know, like, especially if they're dead, if the character's dead, but there's some characters that we've seen that are alive and well that have their body used by one of these individuals, and I think this, I think it was La Habrea. La Habrea took a body of a prominent, important character in the game, and of course, I'm not going to reveal the name of that character, but you know who I'm talking about. But that's one example of what the Asians are capable of doing. But a couple of characters in particular that we see are actually apparently been thought to be dead, but they are, and it actually sets up some other questions for down the line as we are moving away from the Sodiark and Heidelin story. But this one character eventually meets his demise, or rather, gets the opportunity to do what he needs to do by sacrificing himself. But it's, you know, it's up to you whether it was in vain or whether it's something that is going to be, that's going to come back in upcoming patches. But when it comes down to it, we eventually find out that the character involved is actually working to get everyone to safety, and the moon is somehow the key to all of this getting, you know, squared away. So that's why the moon is the prominent part of the story. That's why, like, if you go around seeing memes about we're going to the moon prior to the release, and yes, that is why. But yes, moon is the key in the whole expansion. And it's actually, officially we'll come across these characters called Alopurids, and they actually help us out a lot, and you will be pleasantly surprised when you get to that part, or rather, if you've already been there, then I'm like, yes, that was actually the best part of the expansion. And Alopurids, they're these, bunny people in a game, and a lot of people will probably associate them with Moogles, but no, apparently they were actually created for another reason, and the reason might surprise you. But I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I guess basically it's like, you know how when something bad happens, let's say if you're watching something or reading something, a lot of it is centered around something bad happening, right? Chances are it's going to be like a comic relief situation where it's funny, it distracts from the overall situation, but I think this is kind of the case for the Lopurids. But they were actually the best part. Like, in the end, they're actually the best part of the game. So, I think we'll actually see more of them, you know, moving forward. But, I'm trying to say, what else is there? Oh, yeah, so yes, the characters, going back to the characters, one of them that were introduced at the end of Shadowbringers, we see a different side of them. And this also changes the opinion of a lot of, you know, people who play the game, including myself, and makes you wonder, I'm like, huh. And then one of the other characters in question too, like, we are introduced to what they call his shade, and they give him a name, and during the whole time of this whole scene in Shadowbringers where they reveal this person that has no face, but he's a shade and he has a name, I'm like, we're never gonna see this dude again. And then we see him, and oh my gosh, he's actually the best character ever. And if you look around, like, if you dare look around anything relating to Endwalker, you probably know who this character is, because compared to the other character in Shadowbringers, the fill-in character who comes up again in Endwalker, I think this is the character that basically shaped the whole expansion pack. So, but yeah, he's actually one of my favorite characters so far, and I already have a harem of characters in 14, and I think he's number 7 now. He's character number 7 in this case. But yeah, so this character is the character, the chef's kiss character that, you know, everyone is rooting for. And it's very likely we might see more of this character in the future. It sounds like in the game it's hinted at that he might return, but just on a surface it's like he won't, but he might. So that was the best part of it. And actually they make one last appearance at the end of Endwalker that actually changes the whole mood of the game, and it's at the point of the game where we are finally at a dead end, and it seems that we're not going to get anywhere. And also, the important characters are sacrificed one by one. And then, you know, there was this rumor that one of the prominent characters were going to get killed off in the game. I want to leave that for you to find out whether they get killed out or not, but it's going to be a surprise. Like, considering it's a Final Fantasy game, they have this thing called plot armor. And I'm trying to, just to explain off the top of my head, it's kind of like, this is here to prevent this from happening. And it seems like there was no case in this situation for this one character, considering how they are and how some people see him. But his character has had quite a glow up in the past several years, so it didn't make sense for them to kill him out. Or did they? Did they actually kill him out? But again, that's like, as far as, you know, that's for you to decide. But, so I guess this is sum up the game. I'm going to go to other little points of the game. So, does anyone die? Does anyone survive? We'll find out. That's for you to find out. But I will say this, though. This is like the best Final Fantasy game I've ever played. And for those that know me in real life or kind of got an idea of how I am, or rather what the game I've talked about the most in the Final Fantasy franchise is Final Fantasy X. That is my all-time favorite Final Fantasy game in the franchise. So I know a lot of people have 7, but no, it's 10. And I am very vocal about Square Enix and Nomura coming up with another game in the series. And I know a lot of people are going to say, I don't think Final Fantasy X needs another game in the series. I think so. I think they do need another game in the series. But there was, I think it was back in Season 2. I think it was Episode 20 of the Shintaku Media Journal. For those that want proof, so Nomura has expressed interest in releasing a third game in the Final Fantasy X franchise, but only after Final Fantasy VII Remake is done. So we'll find out then. But anyway, just the point is that Final Fantasy X being an all-time favorite Final Fantasy game, I don't think any other Final Fantasy game is going to top it, but Endwalker was so good that, like, out of all the expansion packs that have been released so far before Endwalker, it's like, I don't think 14 can top 10. But Endwalker technically tops 10. Like, Final Fantasy X could very well be in second place. But I still have, like, I have so many good memories with Final Fantasy X. It's going to stay at the top no matter what. So, if anything, 14 and 10 are tied for first place, because Endwalker was so good. And also, I will say this. Endwalker, I think, was the game. So, I don't know how many of you have cried during video games, but I think this is 14. I think 14 is probably the hardest I've ever cried playing a video game. And yes, there were some times playing 10 where I cried a little bit, but it wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as, I don't know what the word is. It wasn't as memorable. I guess I shed a tear. I think that's as most as I've done. I shed a tear, but not, like, had to pause the game, stop it, and, like, cry for, like, 3-5 minutes. So this is actually, like, there's a few times that's happened in Endwalker, and even this one time I cried in Shadowbringers, but in Endwalker, I'm like, y'all are destined to make me miserable. But no, like, miserable, like, not really miserable, I guess, just to make me, you know, cry, make me so upset about little things. And I'm like, there's some surprises that actually make you cry. Because, yeah, this is just so much to talk about. I want to go into spoilers, but if you want to talk to me about 14, I'm up for it, 101. Actually, probably by the time you hear this episode, I might have, like, going back to the Discord server, I might have, like, a special 14 channel, maybe? Maybe it's that way, if you choose a role and whether you want to talk about Final Fantasy 14, you can. But I don't know. We'll see. Yes, I want to, like, make it to where people can talk about, like, anything that's in. I want to kind of make an area where people can talk about it without worry for spoilers. But, of course, it'll be in an area designated for spoilers. But we shall see. But, yeah, so I guess I don't really have a rating system. I really need to have one. I used to have one. But if you want to go with a 5-star rating for Final Fantasy 14 in Walker, I would give it a 5 out of 5 because, oh my gosh, I am so glad to have caught up with the game. It wasn't until November of 2020, or rather the end of December, like right before the end of the year, before beginning of 2021, I caught up with Shadowbringers, the base expansion, and all I had to do was go through the patches leading up to 5.5, so I caught up to 5.5 just in time, and it's been an amazing journey from somewhat the beginning into where we are now, and for me personally, I've been playing 14 on and off for about 5 years, and when I picked it up again, I actually picked up from the very end of A Realm Reborn leading up to Heavensward, and I even had to stop there because I had to, I think it was in 2019, it was right before I went to Korea, so I definitely couldn't pick up until after I came back, but it wasn't until later, like, I guess like 6 months later when the pandemic started because I had nowhere to go, and I said, well, I got something to keep myself busy with, so yes, Endwalker, it is my favorite expansion pack, and my favorite part of it, I guess, is the, I guess when it explained, when we get an idea of how things, became the way they were with those two characters in particular that are associated with the Ashians. The Ashians, rather. But, not the Ashians, not the bad ones, but the Ashians. The people that actually are involved with everything the way they are. So, I'm just going to keep it at that. I don't want to go too much into spoiler territory, but I think I've explained it the best I could, and I know I'm all over the place with my explanation, but unless, like I said, if you want, like, this might be good practice for future episodes where I just probably just go into spoiler territory, but I kind of want to also inform the people who are on the fence about Endwalker, or just anything in general that involves heavy spoilers, as Endwalker is. This is, you know, a lot of things that changed the game that it's just, you know, it's really huge. The 14 universe is huge, and it's about to get bigger. As Yoshida has stated that he wants to keep working on 14 for another 10 years. So we have quite a ways to go with 14 in the universe. So as of recording this, again, we are awaiting news about 6.1, but by the time you hear this, we'll have news already, and I will be talking about it in future episodes of the Sentaku Media Journal, and I think episode 4 in particular, by the time the news comes out for the season 3, episode 4, is when we'll have more information about it. So I hope you enjoyed all I could explain of 14 in Walker, Final Fantasy 14 in Walker, and thank you all so much for listening and putting up with my, oh my gosh, I want to talk more about it, but I can only say so much. But I hope you got an idea of how I feel and how what to expect of the game. Oh yeah, also the music, of course, I think every single Final Fantasy game, there's not one bad track. And, oh my gosh, oh well, oh yeah, so there is one part in the game, again, like I said, there was a few times I cried, there is one song in the game that it's, oh my gosh, it's probably the most emotional Final Fantasy song you've ever heard. Like, if Stand By Me was emotional from 15, this game, I'm like, this one song and one area of the game towards the end, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, like, you will, there'll be one day, like, you hear it, like, even if it's used in a meme, when you hear it, chances are you're going to break down in tears from hearing it. Because, oh my gosh, this is so good, and it's so memorable considering the situation the song is played in. But, yeah, so anyway, I'm really looking forward to the upcoming patches and what 7.0 has to offer. And of course, when 7.0 gets here, I will be reviewing it, so it probably won't be until, like, next year. Because based on the release schedule of the previous expansions up until Endwalker, it's usually around the end of June or August, but I mean, well, for Endwalker, we had November, right? But it got delayed by a few weeks until the beginning of December. So, now it was understandable, and even Yoshida was choked up about it, having to delay it that long. But it's just to make sure everything runs smoothly, you know, when the game comes out. Although we've had quite a bit of a delay for a few weeks. The first few weeks the game came out because of the server limitations and a chip shortage, but now that everyone's played a game, majority of everyone's played a game, now everything's back to normal, and then now the Oceania people have their own data centers to call. So, like, anyone that's in Australia or New Zealand, they have their own data center to call. So, yeah, so there's been a lot of hardship. Not really hardship, but kind of medium ship. Not really hard, but, you know, medium ship when it comes to a lot of the issues they've ran into. But it's kind of expected, and I'm really surprised at how well everyone's taking it. Like, there are a few people that were upset that they had to basically move their days off to play the game, but I mean, that's your own risk. You do that at your own risk on whether you want to take days off for a game that's going to get delayed, especially in this environment where we're during a pandemic and there's a lot of shortage of everything. So anyway, thank you all so much once again for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got enough information, and please give me feedback on what I should talk about or how I can improve things. I'm a little rusty as far as like reviewing things, but I think at this point, I think talking about it, I think it's my strong suit. And actually what's weird is that I feel like a decade ago I'm better at writing things, but now that we have a proper, rather an established podcast, I think talking about it is probably more beneficial than writing about it, because there's so much to cover that you could type out, but it just takes time. So having it come out, you know, as you think about it, is, I think a lot of fun compared to writing it. But again, thank you so much. And if you want to hear more of this, be sure to listen to our episodes of the Sintaku Media Journal and also previous special episode, especially our very first episode where I talk about my adventures in South Korea back in 2019. But also, you can don't forget to hit up our Discord, which you can find at sentakumedia.com/discord. And also be sure to follow us on our socials, which we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitch, which is under Sentaku Media. And also our YouTube channel, Sentaku Chan. And until next time, so long.